How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions. Shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As always, it is Dale Lippin in here with Trey Van Buskirk. But more importantly, it's like a new thing that we're doing. We're just starting the show with a guest in here already, as opposed to bringing them in after the fact. Really doesn't need an introduction, but I'm going to give you one anyway if you're listening audio-wise. We have the, if we're going to fear the, Miranda Maverick in the building. How are you doing, Miranda?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. I love this. It's like a nice little organic sort of setup that we had here. I freshly moved out to Team Elevation, and Dober's a big friend of the show, and we just kind of, I think that's sort of how this came about. I'm not really sure, but
yeah. I saw both the people you had on that night, and I was like, hey, look at that. It looks like a reputable show. I'm gonna get on that one.
Well, Dale, I think it's also, we're in this space now where we're only bringing on the most yoked fighters on the planet.
That's
we
true.
Cannot go into heavyweights. It's just cut people.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
There is some sort of aesthetic here that's happening where there is a very, very yoked, as you say, Trey, aesthetic to the guests that we have on. So I appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much. How was Christmas? How was New Year's? We're in 2022. Obviously, we're ready to get things cracking here in 2022. Newly married, all this stuff. Catch us up with what's going on here.
As far as holidays, it was awesome. It's the first time I've gotten to eat at Christmas for the first time in about 5 years or so. So that was really nice, going to spend time with my family and actually getting to enjoy the time around them. Mm-hmm. When family time is half eating, you know, that's the most fun part. Yeah. As far as getting married, Pete and I eloped in November on Thanksgiving, so that was a pretty exciting time. Did not get to have Thanksgiving dinner because I was preparing for my fight, but we still had a nice dinner, and it was a really good day. And now we're getting ready to have an actual wedding in October, so going to let our parents and families and close friends enjoy it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. How was the whole elope thing? Because my wife and I did something similar to that in the sense that we got married and immediately moved away from everybody, but we at least had everybody there. Trey, you and Jess had a big wedding, did you not?
We had a big wedding, but we are big advocates of The Bachelor, which is technically eloping. So, Miranda, was it as like magical as The Bachelor? Walk us through that day.
I think it depends on your relationship. You know, a lot didn't change for us the day that we got eloped. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to go ahead and do it, is we were already living married, basically. And we're both Christians. We both thought it was the right thing to do to go ahead and get married instead of cohabiting, basically, for another few months, just because a date closer didn't work better for us. So when we did get married, you know, it was different not having anybody around. It was definitely more emotional than I thought it was going to be, because I was like, oh, it's not, you know, it's not going to be a huge ordeal. Just got a photographer that was local that I had worked with before. And I was like, oh, just take a few pictures for us, you know, not going to be a big deal. We went in, we ended up getting a minister online because we weren't able, you know, we didn't have any connections here yet. We had just started going to the church we were at. No one was free for Thanksgiving, which I don't blame them. So we got somebody online that was cheap to fit our very, very small budget. And it was, I would advise going for the money and getting somebody better, but it was good. You know, we both were like in tears when it happened and had a great photo shoot up at, up in Boulder, and It was great. It was a good day. Very emotional. And we pulled both of our parents that afternoon and called everybody on FaceTime and used it as the excuse of, we all want to be a part of the family prayer for Thanksgiving, you know, and do what we're thankful for. And when it came our turn, we told them what we did.
Threw the prayer in there. I like that. Yeah, I like that. Do you have somebody picked out on who you want to officiate in October? Because Trey has officiated a couple weddings.
Oh, that's cool. I actually do. So Pete's brother-in-law is a minister, and so he's actually going to be the one to officiate us. I thought about my own dad doing it, but I was like, I kind of want my dad to walk me down the aisle, and that's just too much to have him do. So,
well, I would tell your dad, Miranda, it is a very rigorous process. It's so that, and I'm only ordained Dale in Hawaii, so that makes it a little bit more difficult.
I see. I've heard it takes a whole couple hour course online.
Well, if it's a couple hours, that person's doing it wrong. It's like 10 minutes. Yeah.
Nice.
So we're into 2022. 2021, outside of getting married, kind of hit or miss. What's going on? What are we looking at this year, and what are we going to do next? Who's on the docket? Because I don't think you have anything booked currently, right? But there's got to be names orbiting around.
There's a lot of names. There's a lot of names I've thrown out there. There's a lot of dates I've thrown out there. Already a couple of them have came and went and are not happening. You know, it's been told to me that I just have to wait in line, and there's a lot of girls they need to get fights, and they're bringing even more people into the flyweight division. And I'm like, okay, if we're having this much trouble finding fights for everybody, why are we bringing in tons more people all the time? But I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. I've given several names out there. Molly McCann was one that I really wanted to fight. She ended up getting booked, but that I thought would have been an absolute barn burner. Another one I wanted to fight was Antonina. She also got booked. And I've thrown out about 10 more names, and I'm just waiting for one of them to actually stick. But, you know, 2021 was kind of hit or miss for me. Like you said, February was a good fight against Jillian. Beat her, and then in July I fought Macy Barber. Everybody has their own opinion of that one, and I do too. I think I won it as well, and hopefully the UFC doesn't look at it as loss, because on paper I've lost two in a row right now, which has never happened to me, and I've definitely never lost like I lost my last fight, which was a disappointing night for me, for a lot of fans, for my family and friends. And it was one of those things where I think I got kind of self-defeated. I don't like losing first rounds. And I didn't do well after I lost the first round. I was kind of, I guess, surprised by getting taken down and being held down. And I just let it downward spiral from there. And on top of that, it just wasn't my night. I was basically forgetting everything after getting frustrated. We're working on correcting that right now, forcing me to lose rounds and then get back up and win the next ones. And on top of that, working on my bottom game, my defense, because I'm very good offensively in all positions. But my defense is where I've kind of lacked, just because, in my opinion, places that I've trained in the past just don't have really partners my size, and it's hard to work the defense beyond just surviving.
Wow. That's really admirable. That, well, one, you're surrounded by the best coaches on the planet. So obviously if they saw that flaw where you're just not getting it going after round one and the loss, they're going to hone in on that. But I mean, you're beyond interesting, Miranda, because your wrestling background, I know even in your family, but your brother's an absolute all-star wrestler. Yeah. So when you were getting taken down in what was, like, you believe your best, you know, facet of your game, was that more so because that was the big reason, or was it kind of all around, you just didn't feel like you were in it?
I felt like I just wasn't in it beforehand, leading up to the fight. Best camp I've ever had. I felt amazing. Best weight cut I've ever had. I felt like my fitness was on point. Like, I hadn't gotten above 140 even during the whole fight camp, and like kept my weight, just staying very lean. Even now I'm staying very lean outside of fights and outside of fight camps. To be beat at my own strength, which I knew that was Aaron's only strength, right? Was the grappling background part. And I think I was winning on the feet, but too bad we didn't stay there very long. Right. And I was used to getting pushed against the cage and defending out of it, but to have someone take me down in the middle of the cage, which is usually my specialty, wasn't too fun. And then I'm also bad about being like, oh, I'm sitting here, I'm protected, I'm not getting hit, so I'm fine. And then you lose the fight.
Yeah.
I'll say this, because part of our show is based on betting, obviously. We were both on you that night. So I mean,
a lot of people were.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, skill set wise, I feel like if you and Aaron ran it back 10 times, you're coming out on the favorable side of that 10. Whether it was your night or not, I mean, it, you know, it is what it is. I do want to say this, though, with the Macy Barber fight, I don't know anybody that scored it for her. And again, not to dwell on negative things, but I don't know anybody that scored it for her. And I'm not just saying that because you're on here. I probably send you the clip because I believe there was a rant that either Trey or myself went on in the following episode because it was pretty egregious in that sense. So is with the flyweight division sort of seemingly getting a little bit more flooded, is bantamweight an option?
No, I'm short. I'm really short. I tried to fight at 115 when I was starting as a pro in Invicta because UFC didn't have a flyweight division at that time.
Yeah.
I would probably sooner try to make that and lose a bunch of muscle than I would go up to 135. I've also fought at 135 before. I won that fight. However, it was, not to be mean to her, but not of equal skill level. You know, it was like a comeback fight that I took real quick just to get a win back under my column and get back in the game. I will never fight at 135 on the UFC unless it's both of us hitting a 3-day notice fight and both of us are usually flyweights.
I gotcha. Let's bring in something from the chat real quick. So I was going to ask you this following the question about Macy. Is there anything that you would suggest as far as changes to the judging and scoring system?
I wish they'd make people have more experience in the mixed martial arts world. It's easy to say a lot of things that they can improve on. It's another to try to enforce it. I know plenty of MMA fighters that could go and judge. They just don't want to. You know, I know plenty that I'm like, you should do this. You should do this. And they're like, I'm just not interested. I want a referee or I want to do something more fun, you know, more involved, something that gets my name out there. And I'm like, yeah, I understand it can be a little bit difficult to, you know, get in that. But that's really what we need is people to go in there and be a part of it. Sorry, guys. It looks like my camera.
That's okay.
A little bit. Gonna see if I can.
No, I think that's a fair point. One of the things that's been brought up quite a bit, and I want to get your take on it. Dober is against it, but how do you feel about open scoring? Would you want to know the score in between rounds?
I don't think it would affect me negatively or positively. I think I like the open scoring just because in my personality is one where if I know I'm losing, I'm going to go in there and just put my all. But I think usually it's pretty obvious, you know? So close fights, though, I think it would definitely help. The downside I see is that people who win or know they're winning by two rounds are just going to backpedal the entire time the third round. But at the same time, it's the person's job that's losing to push the pace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully you're not going to decisions anymore. You're just going to stomp people, you know, round one, round two. You're, like I keep saying, we think you're in one of the greatest camps, you know, there is here domestically. When you're in camp and you're looking around the other killers that are part of your gym, is there someone you look at that you're just like, they're on an insane level? Like, I cannot wait to watch their career unfold.
There is actually, like, JJ Aldrich is one that I see improving at a fast rate. And that, you know, even looking back at her fight, she's had a lot of hard fights. And in training, she's one of my hardest training partners and really pushes me. So I'm looking forward to her next fight against Ariana Lipsky. And then Raquel Pennington, I'm kind of looking at what they do with her because I know she's pretty frustrated over the fact that she was in the top 10, I think number 5 or something along those lines. And then she went out for a kind of unrightful suspension, however you want to call it. And then she was put back in, not even in the rankings. So she wasn't too happy about that. And now she's struggling to get fights. So there is that issue.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they did kind of do her a little bit dirty in that regard. There was a suspension. Didn't she have like an injury on top of that as well, I think?
Yeah, she had an injury and then she was sitting out to kind of get her hormones and stuff together, something along that sort. And ended up kind of getting, hurt in the process of.
So we can't see it right now because the camera, but those of you that are listening to it audio or will be listening to it, when you first popped on, Trey and I commented, you had this really slick chair that you were sitting on, and you said you were working primarily out of the chair 8 hours a day. Those of you who are uninitiated, you're probably, I can at least speak from experience, you're probably the most educated person that we've ever had on our show Certainly smarter than myself. Trey went to Pepperdine and he claims to be super smart. So I don't know about that. But you know, how are you, like officially done with school now, or what do you got going on? Are you going for your doctorate?
Oh, did we lose her?
Did we lose her altogether?
I want to ask her, because when we talk about her actual degree, maybe producer Jake will pop her back in here, but her degree is in industrial psychology.
Yeah.
Industrial, I need to psychology. Understand what that is. It's like, I think, oh, she's looking to connect. But if I were to guess what industrial psychology is, Dale, now correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
I would say that it has to do with understanding the feelings of some type of machinery.
I don't think that's it. I think it would be, understanding the way, I feel like, okay, I'm trying to think. See, this is where my wordsmithing fails dramatically. I think this, an industrial psychologist would be somebody that you would bring in if you were trying to determine how to position yourself within a market to appeal to people to help boost your business.
In industrial, so like in the steel mills.
No, like within an industry.
Industrial industry.
She's gonna come back and we're gonna figure it out.
So. Can you guys hear me now?
There we go. Hear you now, yeah.
So sorry, you guys did good on rerouting. I don't know what happened. Basically, my electricity glitched, and there now I don't even know what's wrong with my video. So sorry, everybody's gonna look at a blank screen.
That's okay.
Just so, put a good picture of me up there. Make me look flattering.
Yeah. Come on, producer Jake. No. So what we were discussing is the merits of, one, how educated you are, and two, what on earth an industrial psychologist does.
I heard some of the guesses. So I had you live on my phone while I was in the middle of trying to get this back. So industrial psychology is not to do with machinery. It has to do with employees, right? So it has to do with figuring out how the employees work within a business. So industrial psychology, think about, you have a business, right? You have to get it to succeed. I'm the one that kind of goes in and sees how to make it succeed, all the way from employee training and development to leadership development to figuring out like marketing and advertising and how to appeal to customers.
Wow, you're like the whole package then. You're the shark that comes into the business. That's awesome.
Basically, I'm the one who rules capitalism, you know, tries to make capitalism for everybody.
We love capitalism here. So with that being said, do you get to, like, these are my favorite things. Do you get to charge consultation fees, which basically you can just create whatever you want and charge people?
So I probably could. Right now I work for Hershey, like the chocolate company. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually a statistician for them. So it's not entirely related to my degree, but I'm a statistician for their media marketing science department, and I'm contracted. So it's like, you know, I have to renew my contract with them every so often. But if I were to go into more the industrial side of things, I would typically work for a consulting company and charge whatever they require. And they like hire a team of consultants to come in for like these Fortune 500 companies that need like, I don't know, 10, 15 of us to even function, you know? But for smaller companies or even private ones that don't want to pay a big consulting fee, they'll just hire private consultants, kind of like private investigators versus the police or something, right? And I guess I could charge whatever I wanted. Right now, I'm finishing up my master's, so that isn't really a good option right now on top of my fight schedule and everything, where with Hershey right now, I can kind of work my own schedule and I work part-time, and it's been amazing. Both on sustainability end and on getting experience for my future.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. So I'm just going to let you know now, Trey and I are both big clipboard guys. Uh-huh. So if you start your own independent thing and you want us to just come and stand like with clipboards,
yeah.
Like we're writing stuff down while you do the work. Great. We can definitely wear suits and ties and carry clipboards. We're super good at that.
That's really nice to know. I could probably get a whole team of people for that. That sounds like a great thing.
Big clipboard guys here.
Yeah. I don't know if they could do it at the level that we could execute, Miranda, but okay. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I'll keep your names. I'll write it down. Future employee potential. There we go. Yeah.
All right. So if you got, Trey, if you don't have anything, I want to get to some of these in the chat real quick. Logan, says, how does Miranda like going to an inner city school?
Inner city. That's so like a gym. I'm curious if, oh, they're talking about Norfolk, like Old Dominion University.
I guess.
Okay. It looks like maybe they're talking about that. So one, yeah. I don't live in Norfolk anymore. I live in Denver, Colorado, because I wanted to get out of there.
Come on, Logan.
Norfolk wasn't what I would call inner city. Even Old Dominion University is out on the edge of what people want to call a city. And it's very different than other cities I've been around. It's not super heavily populated. More of the Virginia Beach style is like more touristy and has a lot more like the upper class. Norfolk's just kind of a typical town, I guess you'd say, until you get right in the middle of the 1 mile square footage, you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, because I'm trying to summon my East Coast college knowledge. Yes. Old Dominion, isn't that like the sister school for William and Mary?
Pretty much. Yeah, they're very connected. I don't know if they actually are associated, but I think they do have like you can do William and Mary classes and they'll count for credits towards Old Dominion and stuff like that in the medical school.
Oh, see, check this out. Boom. Logan says he went to Old Dominion for 4 years.
Oh, okay. There we go.
All right. Another one from Brian in the chat. And he says, how do you feel about women getting so many OnlyFans pages? I'm feeling some of your earlier answers are going to go ahead and answer this one, but go for it.
I think I've answered this one a lot. One, I'm okay for. I don't have a problem saying that because it's all over the internet. I guess anybody could find that out. It's common knowledge. Other than that, the OnlyFans, I am personally, meaning myself deciding to do it, very against it, right? I always have to make that clear. I'm not the whole, you're judging, you know, you're a Christian, you're not allowed to judge. And I'm like, okay, there's a difference between saying I think you should go to hell and saying that I don't agree with it. I wouldn't do it because of my own moral values. In my opinion, it's wrong. I find me even taking pictures like that and letting someone else see it to be a form of cheating on my husband, right? I would never do that beyond like what he's okay with. Like these feet people out there, you know, he jokes, he's like, do it, get the money, you know, but I know what that stuff leads to. And those people are just creepy. Who knows what, you know, even the look of that is bad. So if I made an OnlyFans and sold pictures of trees on there, people are still going to see Miranda Maverick has an OnlyFans. Employees are going to see that. My future children are going to see that. I don't want that.
I understand. I'm glad you brought up the feet thing though, because let's talk about feet folk for a minute.
Oh my goodness. There's a lot of them out. So what's crazy is you would think walking around every day, you'd meet a couple of them, right? Just because there's so many of messages and stuff I get, you would think you'd know a couple. You would think you'd have somebody that would walk around and just be like, oh my goodness, your feet, they're beautiful. Or can I take a picture of your feet? But that doesn't happen, right? I've never had anybody do that. Right. I've had like somebody comment on toenail polish. That's about it. And it's usually a girl. But I think it's, and you know, this could be wrong and maybe people call me whatever, but I'm not trying to be racist or geographist. I don't know what the word is for it. But these Middle Eastern guys on Instagram that hassle and harass us girls, okay, on Instagram, I think it's because it's such a lack of dominance in their own countries from women. And so they like seek that in these fighters and these American women that they like harass basically, or, you know, just buy their OnlyFans nowadays. You don't even have to harass girls. But I would say 90% of the weird things I get are from them.
So did that make you scared when you went over to Abu Dhabi?
No, not at all. I think that's like a different world than what I'm talking about. And on top of that, the amount of security they had at Abu Dhabi, like it was crazy. It was a whole different world. We were locked in a big bubble, basically, of UFC people. That was about it.
You're tailor made for the show, because at least once an episode, Trey and I have to say, not to be racist or not to be not to be geographically discriminatory, but so real quick, we had Haley Cowan on the show, who you know, and we asked her the question, you know, what's the weirdest DM you ever got? And her obviously was feet related. She said she had a man offer $10,000 for her wrestling shoes. So
She really should have.
I think she said that she wanted to, but then chickened out. Was that not the answer, Trey?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was the transaction that she was most nervous about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. So I'll pose the same question to you as we posed to her. What is the or one of the weirdest DMs you've ever gotten?
So one of the weirdest DMs I've ever gotten was related to me basically beating the crap out of guy. And let me tell you, he made it very professional. Like, it sounded like a lawyer sat down and wrote this out. It was like, "Dear Miranda Maverick, like, for this much money," and it was like $5,000, I think. And then he also said he'd pay me per hour that I beat him, right? "Would you come to," I think it was Afghanistan or one of those smaller Middle Eastern companies, "and would you come over here? I'd fly you out, pay for your stay, all this, get you, you know, this nice room to yourself, just 3 hours this day and 3 hours this day. Would you come and beat me? Don't kill me. You can pass me out, you know, you can kick me in the balls, do all this. The harder you kick me, the more I'll like it." Like, all this stuff, and gave me like bullet points of what I was and was not allowed to do. And then I messaged him back and I was like, "You know what? Sure. Can I bring my dad?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure. I'll pay for him too. I'll add another $2,000 or something like that. Something crazy." And I like showed my dad, sent it to him. And I was like, "This is nuts." But I'm still saying no, because I'm going to get thrown into sex trafficking or something. I'm done.
Oh my gosh. So
I want to know what was on the list that you could not do.
Yeah. What's on the can't do list?
I couldn't use weapons. I think I was allowed to choke him and pass him out, but not holding it more than 3 seconds after he passed out.
That detailed.
I was allowed to tie him to a chair with like tape, but not rope or chain. It was like crazy. It was a whole list. Like, I'm telling you. And then at the end was like, "If you would consider my offer, please contact me." Da, 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 da. And I was like, wow, this is very proper and very weird. Like,
and even weirder is he's going to be the officiant at the wedding.
Oh my goodness.
So I love how you're right. The detail of that sounds like he probably sat down with somebody and was like, "We need to write this out." Like,
yeah, and probably sent it to, you know, 150 different people that he thought would beat his ass. And then, I don't know. I always wonder if someone actually agrees to these things, because somehow these guys have to get it in their heads that it's okay, right? Or that it'll work. Like, I've never understood. It's the same way, I don't know, like dick pics, okay? Like, has that worked in the past? I don't. Has it just worked? You just.
Yeah. Miranda, we're doing the interview in here, okay?
Okay.
It's never worked for me. Every time I send one to my wife, she's always like, "What are you doing?" So yeah, it's never worked. So, I'll say this much: if a Middle Eastern guy calls or shoots us a DM and says, "I'll pay you $10,000 to come put hands on me," Trey, we're on the next flight, right?
For sure, we're taking Spirit Airlines. We're getting right there. Yeah.
What happens when you get ambushed by like 10 of them though? Like, I don't know.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be a thing.
It's not.
Well, Dale has a bunch of guns. I'm in San Diego, so those are restricted over here. It's
pretty hard to get those overseas from what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's see. I'm trying to think. He says in the chat, I'm just going to put this up just because it's funny, but he said, "Will you show us your feet when your camera starts working?" I have a friend that likes feet.
Oh my goodness.
It's worth putting up there. All right.
Yeah.
Let's bring this back to something similar to like some sort of conversation. I don't know what we should do here.
Bring it back to putting feet in people's asses. Miranda, I know you've thrown out a bunch of names, but who's like the pinnacle? I know obviously title's pinnacle, but is there someone that, like, for instance, like the Macy Barber fight that's got to irk you a lot? Would you ever want to run that back? Is there someone in the division that just kind of like gets you going in the morning?
Yeah, actually, like I would love to. Oh, it's working, guys. So happy. Now to figure out. I don't know what's going on though. Oh, it's my laptop is connected to my computer. And it's actually the one with the camera working. I don't know.
Okay.
You can kind of see me, right?
Yeah, we're getting there.
So Macy Barber fight is definitely one that someday I would love to run back, just because I do feel like it was a wrong decision. I do feel like, you know, 10 out of 10 times I would beat her. And now even more so, I would just I don't know, like rusher. And like, yeah, I would definitely dominate the performance beyond what I did last time.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, obviously everyone's goal is to get to the title shot. So I would like to have that at one point. There's a lot of fights coming up the chain that I think would be good fights for me. Joanne Calderwood, I'd love to fight at some point in my career. Antonina was the first call that I wanted to have. I don't know if that's going to happen. I have a feeling she'll retire pretty soon. Excuse me, Caitlin Chookagian. I'm not even sure if they've re-signed her or what's happening with that, but I know she's hinted at retirement a couple times, so I wouldn't doubt if we don't see her re-signed. So
we've been saying the same thing for her last three fights. We've been betting against her, saying that she keeps talking about wanting to have kids. She keeps talking about retiring, and then she goes out there and yells and jabs her way to a unanimous decision over and over and over again. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's frustrating. I mean, she does. It's almost like a Floyd Mayweather approach. She has this little weird formula that she can execute that some people just cannot figure out a way around. And it keeps her hovering around title contention at all times while being, I mean, she's a professional fighter in a cage, but she's not fun to watch. If fun is a measurable component to it.
But I'm pretty sure, you know, her fight contract is over. So I wouldn't doubt if we just don't see her re-sign. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. You know, we never know, who knows, but that's probably my guess, is she's kind of out, going to be a free agent now.
Gotcha. I got you. So I think we've hinted at it, but we haven't asked outright. Wedding in October, we're fighting this year. When do we, like, we talking about April, we talking about International Fight Week,
if I can get a fight in the next 4 weeks, I'd probably take it. I asked him for May 7th. I'd love to fight on that card. Mm-hmm. It might even be out of the country. I think it's in Brazil. Maybe I just knew it was the Gaethje fight. A couple of people that are on my team are going down there. It'd be a good card to be on. You know, a couple of cards in April. I know Tisha Torres is on one of them. One of my coaches is going to that one too. So that'd be ideal. But I've been told it'd probably be May before I get a fight. So I'm just waiting around, asking Mick when my next fight is, you know, letting my management handle that side of it. And I'd like to get three fights in this year. If we keep waiting this long, that might not happen with the way they keep making girls wait. That's another problem I have, though, is I'm told, you know, that we have to all wait in line and others have to have a chance. But then I see people that fight and then 2 weeks later, they have another fight booked. So that bugs me a little bit.
You got things that bug you. Let's talk about this for a second, because there's a lot going on, and you've been generous with your time, so you can...
Yeah, you're fine. Okay. I apologize for the whole video thing earlier.
Good. Yeah. Let's talk about some, because there's quite a bit of disturbance in the force as far as the UFC is concerned right now. One of which has been the Jake Paul effect, where he's trying to shine light on what he believes is mistreatment or mismanagement by the UFC. And in particular, fighter pay, which brings it to the Francis Ngannou, Dana White beef on Francis not getting paid enough.
Yep.
Obviously, this is your employer, so I'm not asking you to say anything that you don't want to say. And, you know, you can do whatever you want here. I don't want you to have to walk on eggshells. But, I mean, this is a weird time. Like, it's a different kind of mental landscape going on. We don't really see the same thing with mixed martial artists as we do other professional athletes. Do you think there's some validity to some of this? Do you think it's all?
I think there's validity. I think there's multiple reasons for it. Obviously, it's an entertainment industry. Obviously, Jake Paul is one of the next Conor McGregors, as some people call him, and he's trying to get his own clout, trying to make fame throughout social media, and it's worked in more ways than one. Went from calling out MMA fighters and wanting to fight them instead of boxers to now calling out the head of the MMA, and I think he's just trying to throw a rumble through the whole thing, you know, stir the pot, as some people say. And for me, like, of course, I'd like the pay to be better compared to professional athletes. I don't think UFC fighters get paid what we should, especially for the danger that we put ourselves in and the amount of our lives that goes into it. You know, we have so many expenses that come from our fight pay that people like don't understand. You know, I have people that are like, you know, you're a UFC fighter, why are you shopping at Walmart? Or why are you, you know, even for like the wedding registry, you know, we bring that up. People are like, you're a UFC fighter, why are you asking people for gifts, money? And I'm like, okay, first off, I'm not asking for it. Like, if they want to give it and their family members or people invited, great, give to it if they want to, instead of buying us something useless. But on top of that, like, it's a facade of what people think fighters get paid. I'm like, I pay out 25 to 30% to my coaches and management, plus another, 25, 30% to taxes each year. Getting paid less than 50% of what I get paid per fight. And then I don't have a yearly salary. I only get paid when I fight. So if I get injured a little bit, you know, if I lose a fight, that cuts my pay in half. Like, all this different stuff affects it. And people don't understand that. I mean, there's promotions out there that do pay, like ONE Champion has different salaried fighters and let them kind of negotiate a little different. But honestly, like, the pay scale compared to other athletes sucks. And yeah, can you make money with it? Absolutely. That's why I'm doing it. I'm trying to make it big, as they say, with the sport. And if I fight 3 to 4 times a year, I'll make a good wage, right? I might be able to make that exact same wage with a good job using my degree, right? I even got offered a good job a couple weeks back that I turned down purely because of my age. And I feel like I have a bright future in MMA. Had I been 29 or something when that offer got handed to me, I think I would have quit MMA.
Ooh, wow.
That was awesome.
Have you paid your taxes yet this year? Have you done taxes yet?
I'm working on it. Actually, I just got done downloading like a little Excel I'm going to start putting my stuff into. And I will say, for any fighters out there listening, get your own LLC. Get yourself freaking pay yourself, basically. Like, get yourself to where you can put everything that you do on business expenses. It pays off big time. Pro tip.
We got our own LLC for the show.
I'm sending my taxes to Miranda. She's doing them.
There we go.
I just finished mine up and it was brutal this year. It was absolutely brutal.
I've gotten so many like W-2s and 1099s. I'm like, every time I even have a sponsor, I have to, you know, pay whatever they paid me. I got to pay for it. So I'm like, oh, yay.
Let's see. Oh, look, we got an accountant in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Let's go, Tim. Let's go.
We should ask him if he'd be willing to do my taxes. I'd be so happy. It looks like he's in Australia, so maybe not.
All right, real quick before we let you go, obviously UFC 271 this weekend. I don't know if you're big on predicting fights, but if you wouldn't mind giving us a quick little, who do you think's going to win? We'd be cool with that. You're right. Hopefully run through these real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, awesome. All right, so we'll do Derek Brunson versus Jared Cannonier to start off.
I'm going to go with Cannonier.
Any particular reason why?
Not really. I've just met him before. Okay, I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I don't keep up with many fighters other than the girls. I know names, and I can probably guess weight classes. That's
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. I know you're a betting thing. Maybe I should have like researched more. Sometimes I do before, and I didn't have enough time today.
No, then okay, well, let's talk about this then, because you're talking about keeping up with the girls. This is perfect because it's Roxanne Modafferi's retirement fight.
That's right.
She's taking on Casey O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Casey said she wants to give her a quick exit so she can get her retirement started early. But Roxanne, just a legend of the game, who we've made money off of several times because I
she's phenomenal. She always ekes it out. And when I say always, obviously she's lost. But at the same time, Roxy's very impressive. She's such a fun fighter to watch. And no matter what, she's probably the most durable fighter. I think you can say that about her as a woman fighter. Like, she gets hit, everything gets thrown at her, and sometimes she just surprises everybody, you know? Yeah. And I actually am rooting for Roxy. I want her to go out with her head held high. I like Roxy a lot. She's been in the game and had more fights than any female fighter I can think of. You know, it's crazy. Like, I remember, I think her first fight was in, we just got done talking about this in training today, actually. I think her first fight was in 2003. I would have been 5 years old. Right.
Oh,
and I'm like, I remember when I first watched MMA and first watched UFC and watching her and like seeing her even in before UFC and being like, wow, that's really cool. She's doing a great job. And now here I am competing almost against her, you know, like it's pretty neat to see. And then Casey O'Neill, she's another one of those young prospects coming up in the same wave of me, Aaron, her, you know, Jillian, Macy, and people have really high hopes set on her. She's really gotten to move up the ladder fast. It's kind of the scary rise that Macy had at first, you know?
Yeah.
And my advice would be to slow down and take some people, you know, get yourself paid more before you fight these higher girls. That's been my argument. I renegotiated when I fought Macy because I was already number 13 and had only had two fights, I guess, in the UFC. And I was like, I'm not going to be the lowest paid of all the top 15ers out of the whole UFC. Like, that's ridiculous. And I think as far as career goes, she needs to be careful of that. But Casey has a lot of momentum coming in here. You know, she's an explosive fighter. And then her youth is obviously on her side and her hunger for getting in the UFC and being able to put a stop to Roxanne. But I just have a feeling that Roxanne's going to be able to win this one.
I love that you just said the word renegotiated.
Yeah.
Because
smart.
Maybe this is that anomalous where you were able to renegotiate? Because I feel like guys, like, to bring it back to the Francis thing, Francis says, I shouldn't be getting paid $600K as the heavyweight champ. Is it anomalous that you renegotiated, or is that bad management, or what? I mean, is it a combination of the two? I mean, because
I think it's everything. I was able to do it. One, you know, I just came off of two big wins that, you know, I wasn't supposed to win against Jillian. I think I was actually the favorite, but like the UFC didn't really expect me to win. I feel like they put me against this girl because grappling was supposed to be my strong suit. I just got done coming off the big win of Liana Jojua that got me in the new up and comers list for 2020. And DC, John Anik, were all rooting for that one. And so I got that fight against Jillian. Then I got ranked, and then Macy was the next fight. And that, of course, was the big prospect fight everybody was waiting for. And that's why I was whining the whole time leading up to the fight. I think they should have waited until we both got paid another $100K on top of what we were getting. And I know that she is getting paid at least double what I was at that time, even after I renegotiated. So before I renegotiated, you know, my argument was, even if I win this fight, I'll be getting half of paid what she is. You know, I'm not going to do it. Like, I want more pay if I'm going to be fighting in the top 15. I feel like I've put out performances that show that I deserve to be there and I deserve to be paid like I am there. And my management is good. He's really good at negotiations and, you know, speaking from a business perspective, not just a the fighter wants to be paid perspective. And at least got me a good renegotiation. And I'm hoping so this time too. I'm hoping the UFC doesn't take the Macy Barber fight against me. The Aaron one was a clear loss, you know, but I plan on coming back and getting another win this time. And typically renegotiations happen at the third out of four fights.
I love it. I love it. All right. So main event this weekend, Israel Adesanya, Robert Whittaker, the rematch.
Who do you got? I think Israel will win again. I think Whittaker's really good. He comes forward. He's strong. He's got a lot of skills, but Adesanya just is so good at movement, so good at picking his opponents apart and being that fast twitch, you know, going in there and throwing his punches moving and watching what's next to come. He learns from his opponents real well as he goes through the rounds. You know, he'll strike and he'll see a little hole in their game and then he'll pick it apart the next round. And sometimes, in my opinion, they can be boring to watch. Like, sometimes he just kind of dances around, hits them a couple times, plays it safe. What wasn't it, the Paulo Costa fight? Maybe, am I thinking of the right one?
The Costa fight was pretty annoying because Costa wasn't throwing. He was just walking him down and talking. But the Yoel Romero fight was the one where they didn't punch each other at all.
Right. That's the one that it was. And I know it was like a mutual respect thing. And like Adesanya didn't want to move forward and end up getting clipped. But man, that's boring, right? You got to figure out where you can get your shots in and move forward yourself or time things. But we'll see. I think Robert Whittaker has a chance if he can throw his heavy hands and get Adesanya robbed. But I think it's a clear favorite for Adesanya.
All right. Last question from the chat before we cut you loose. Mm-hmm. What's up with that gamer chair? What games are you playing?
I actually do not play any video games. One, I don't have time to. Two, you can ask anyone who knows me. I'm really bad at them. I never played video games or any technology really when I was a kid. I was outside 24/7 working on the farm. So now I'm very uncoordinated when it comes to the little gamer stuff. But I got a gamer chair just because it was supposed to be really comfy. And I sit at my computer and work constantly with school and my statistics job.
All right. Well, that wraps the train. Got anything else?
The pink, you know, I got to match it all up.
No, Trey, I feel like Dale, I just gotta step it up, dude. She's crushing it in life outside the cage, inside the cage. She's funny, cool, smart. Dale, just kick me off the podcast, dude. Just Miranda Tuesday.
I'll take the spot if, you know.
Listen, I've been looking for a reason anyway. So next Tuesday, actually, the time works better if you join anyway, Miranda. So Trey, it's been fun, man. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for coming on. Obviously, we were fans before. We're bigger fans now. Give you the say, we don't say this to everybody. I'm going to tell you right now, we don't say this to everybody. There's only a handful.
I appreciate that.
Whenever you want to come on, the chair is yours.
All right, awesome. Every Tuesday, sounds like Trey, you're off. I'll but thank you everybody for watching. One, sorry for the video again. I have technology issues. I'm still trying to figure out my own little computer setup here. Also, I have my website. It's on there. I have different gear and stuff like that. You can get for kids, you can get for yourselves, fan memorabilia. And I'm trying to make like regular memorabilia too, that's just different designs. I'm doing like a collection with HK USA where I'm trying to design the boxing gloves and have the different prints and maybe get a percentage or something like that. We're not sure, because I do art on the side as well. So trying to see if that works.
Come on, what else?
Jeez, oh man. When's the book come out? When are you writing the book?
So I literally am trying to write a book. After I finish my master's thesis, I plan on like doing it. No, but my life story is one that I think a lot of people would have fun listening to. And I always said that I would start off my biography with my father's, right? Because a lot of his childhood stems off of how I've grown up and raised and how he raised me and who I've become to be. So I've got so many stories. I could sit here for probably 10 hours and talk to you guys and have fun. But yeah, I plan on writing a book one day, fictional and an autobiography that's based on my dad. So there's that. Let's see. I was also going to say, if we have people on here that are gym owners or even people that go to the gym and would like to talk to the gym owners, I'm free for seminars. I try to do those as much as I can. And people always say, wow, the UFC must not be paying well. And that's what they love commenting on my stuff. But I actually really enjoy doing them. I love teaching the kids, the women, the guys too, of course. This last seminar I had actually had more guys in it than I've ever had at a seminar, which is rare, and a lot of pro fighters too. And I had a lot of fun. Love going and just teaching what's been shared to me, especially from the self-defense perspective. I feel like every kid and woman at least should know how to defend themselves against the average person.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. Trey and I are both girl dads. And if our girls grow up to say half of the nice things you just said about your dad, I'll count it as a win, man. There's no crying on this podcast. We're not allowed to talk about this kind of stuff. Okay, we're supposed to talk about drinking beer and bets and
If you follow me, you'll hear all kinds of stuff about my dad. You should go check out the video that was done about the farm life and me growing up on it. He's gonna hate me. I just forgot his name. He does all the different MMA podcasts, MMA videos.
Oh, the Kid Cannon? Or is it the what's his name?
I'm trying to remember. He's gonna hate me.
That's okay. Shoot it to us.
All right, I will. You'll have to check it out. I'll send you the link
Shoot us the link, we'll add it to the show description.
There we go. Perfect.
Okay, awesome. And then we'll get up with you too, because we just launched our new merch shirt. We want to send one your way as well. All right.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Well, until next time, be well, take care of yourself, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Miranda. Dale, we really got to start like getting
being
people
better.
On the
we
got
to be better people here, because we're falling behind.
No, it's just, why is everyone so well spoken and just gracious and cool and smart? And then I just look like Dale, like, what are we doing?
I don't know, dude. I feel at times like we're doing okay, and then other times it's just like I don't like this at all. Like,
I know, and like Producer Jake is smoking bowls in the background.
He literally, like, yeah. So that's the other thing you guys could not see, is that producer Jake, like, so in the background, right? You can see like who's in the lobby behind. Like, I don't know. There's a small like grayed out camera. So like when somebody comes into the broadcast, they sit in like in a queue and you can see them. Miranda's talking, and producer Jake literally has a bowl and he's like,
yeah. While taking a dick pic, it was insane. Yeah.
I was just
like, come on, Jake. We only do this for an hour and a half.
Miranda's like, my fiance and I wanted to get married before we lived together because we're Christians. And Jake's just like, in the back. I mean, Producer Jake. I wouldn't have you any other way, to be honest with you, man. I love you for it. It just, it was
legend of his craft.
I wish I could have just recorded my screen so people could see it. All right, Trey, you told Miranda 20 minutes. We went 48. We've got to go fast here. Okay.
All right.
All right.
I would say, all right, but you did not send me your picks again. So I don't know where we sit. It could get really heated. I don't know.
Yeah, and I do want to preface it with this. If those of you that were listening to the interview had a reverb and just fast forwarded to the end of it, I think we sort of figured that out halfway through. Remember, she said she was watching us on her phone while doing the interview, and I think that the sound was being picked up on her microphone. Yeah, I think is what was going on there, because I literally don't mess with anything in between shows, so I don't know why it would have been me, but I think the two mics were picking each other up. So hopefully it wasn't too bad. Okay, you want me to hurry up? Sorry. Jeez, oh man.
UFC 271. Let's get that velvet corduroy vocals, dude. Let's go.
All right, man. First fight in the main card, Bobby Green taking on Nazareth Hack Perez. Hack Perez at 13-4. Bobby Green, 28-12-1. -150 for Bobby Green, +125 for Nazareth Hack Perez. Both of these dudes, better odds, -139, says Producer Jake, +119 for Nazareth. Okay, even better odds. Both of these dudes need a win, if I'm being honest with you. I know that Nazareth obviously has been looking to right the ship, but this isn't the one to do it, I don't think. I mean, coming off the loss to Dan Hooker, and what was a fairly competitive affair, Bobby Green goes out, sends Ally Aquinta into retirement, which we thought was going to happen. But I think that this is a fight, admittedly, that Bobby Green can't afford to lose. Bobby Green needs to put together some wins, get top 15, get top 10, and do something. I feel like he's in a bit of a career resurgence the last 2-3 years, and he needs to ride that momentum, and he can't surrender it to a guy like Nazareth Hack Perez, who no matter how much he alternates wins and losses, people still view him as a highly capable prospect.
I feel like the only reason they view him as a highly capable prospect is because he looks like Kelvin Gastelum. Mm-hmm. I've said this from day one.
Everybody
does. If I look like Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm probably going to get casted in the next, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, you know, because I play a certain part. It's the same thing with Nazareth, dude. He's getting that extra push because he looks like someone he's not. I don't think he's that good. I think that momentum is everything. I think that what you said about Bobby Green, this could be the resurgence. Absolutely. But I'm a little bit worried that the momentum's a hint fictitious. And I say that because he's coming off a realtor that he KO'd that straight up said in post-fight interviews, Rage Now said, I quit. So yes, he beat someone in devastating fashion. That's not really his speed though. His speed is, let's like wrestle. It's like, you know, elongate this fight, get a decision. If you're going to play Bobby Green, I'd always play Bobby Green by decision. But I do think momentum coming off the Rage Now knockout, even though it was a quitting realtor, whatever. I'm going to go Bobby Green here. I just have not seen anything from Nazareth that warrants him to be like in the same sphere, given the momentum Bobby Green's coming off.
Yeah, I think the only thing that we have to worry about is the variable of will Nazareth wrestle? And he has it within him. I mean, he obviously loves his hands, but he has the wrestling capability within him. And Bobby Green, you know, as a guy that loves the stand, very good sprawl, very good takedown defense, very good clinch work, knows his position within the cage. He's just a savvy veteran. And yeah. I don't think that the UFC is doing Nazareth any favors by continuing to give him grizzled veteran after grizzled veteran. Bobby Green's actually one of my more favorite spots on this card.
Ooh.
So Kyler good Phillips taking on Marcelo Rojo. Rojo at 16-8. Kyler Phillips at 9-2. -400. For Kyler Phillips against Marcelo Rojo. I'm going to be honest with you, Trey. -425 even, says Jake. +325 Marcelo Rojo. That is too wide of a line. It's too wide of a line.
Because you're on Phillips?
I'm not on him at -425. I think you are crazy to play him at -425. I think you're absolutely crazy to play him at that, because if you put him in a parlay, he's at that range where he's almost too wide to be a viable leg. And Rojo is just the right amount of durable, just the right amount of dangerous. And Kyler Phillips, for as creative as he is, for as fun and flashy as he is, he's just the right amount of reckless that he could end up either gassing out or getting caught. And I just don't love that 425 line. I just don't love it. I don't know how to do anything with it.
Well, with Kyler Phillips, I mean, and we were on, or at least I was, I remember if you were, I was on the Julian Paiva train when he fought Kyler Phillips. And mm-hmm. while a lot of people thought that was kind of a gnarly fight because that first round was a big issue, a lot of people thought, well, Kyler Phillips got a 10-8 in that round, it should have been a draw. But what we saw is a typical Kyler Phillips style fighter, someone that is absolute flash and psychopath in round one. But then as the time gets longer, he starts to fade a little bit. Marcelo Rojo, the reason he's not getting any love whatsoever is, dude, the guy hasn't been around in, I mean, I feel like he's had like 3 or 4 canceled fights. We haven't seen him in forever. He's someone that's going to chip away at the body and be there. But no, is he flashy? Is the rust there? Yes. Like, we just haven't seen him. I don't know. He's definitely a parlay piece, but that's going to hurt your parlay more than it's going to help it, right?
Well, it's not going to hurt it. It's just, to me, it's a high risk leg. I mean, his losses, if you're Rojo, we'll go with most recent losses. Since 2017, he's only had 3 losses, but they were to 2 of which were to John Castaneda, who we should have, don't even get me started on the Miles John Castaneda thing, and Charles Jourdain. Those were his 2 losses since 2018. Those are the only 2 fighters he's lost to in the last 3 years. Now, it's been a year since we saw him fight. That's fair. To your point, the Kyler and Paiva fight, that was, I mean, that fight could have
been a draw.
It could have been. I mean, I also thought Kyler versus Song Yadong was close. Like, the guy, if it's not flash getting you out of there, he's putting himself in a position to lose a fight or at least get the judges involved. And I don't know, man. I know
you know what the play is here, dude.
What's the play?
Under 2.5.
Under 2.5.
I love it. I love it. It's juicy, dude. It's like that? A burger. Yeah.
Okay.
Why do I like that? Flash.
Oh man, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I mean, if you're looking at Rojo, I guess 14 of his.
You know what Rojo stands for in Spanish?
Is it red?
Yeah, because his face is going to be covered in red, dude.
I don't like that at all. I don't like it.
You call that a premonition or forecasting or?
No, premonition was a good word. That's a $5 word.
I'm not an industrial psychologist, sir.
You are not a psychologist of industry. All right. Rojo's got 14 finishes out of 16 professional fights. Just throwing it out there. All right.
Hasn't fought since when?
March of last year. Jared Cannonier taking on Derek Brunson. Derek Brunson at 23-7. Jared Cannonier at 14-5. Despite Derek Brunson's career resurgence here and potentially being one fight away from a title shot, he is the underdog here against Cannonier, coming in at a +145 to Jared Cannonier's -170. Over under on rounds is at 2.5. I feel like the over is the play here.
Wow, it's always hard to pick an over with a guy that is so jacked like Jared. Remember, dude, this is a heavyweight down to middleweight here who's just like the statue of David yoked.
He is, but is he doing anything with it?
Just looking good.
I mean, I'm just saying, is he doing anything with it besides showing up to weigh-ins looking like a piece of onyx? Is he doing anything with it?
Dude, I don't know. He's strong. He's got pop in those fists. His ground game is a little. I mean, look at the Hermanson fight. Look at even the Kelvin Gastelum fight. He's there.
Yeah, I mean, he knocked out David Branch. He broke Anderson Silva's knee with a kick. He sent Jack Hermanson into the nether. I understand what you're saying. I just, as of late, I'm just not sure if the killer gorilla is feeling very killer. Although he did have Bobby Knuckles kind of rattled when they fought. I think didn't he rock Bobby in the second round?
Yeah, but I don't understand what anyone could see in Derek Brunson outside of a new haircut. You know what I mean?
Dude, he's back to he's more controlled. He's not leading with his chin and he's mixing in takedowns with the striking. He's got all the momentum. Do I think he's still the gatekeeper of the middleweight division? I 100% do. But momentum is a son of a bitch.
I understand that. We just utilize that analogy as it relates to Bobby Green, but Derek Brunson, I don't think he's coming off any quality wins, dude. I think in his most recent fight, sure, he fought Darren Till, which Darren Till had that Zoolander moment of like, who am I, Pop? Like, he didn't even know who he was in that fight. Mm. Then before that, he had
Kevin Holland,
who, did he do? He just went and exploited the biggest vulnerability in his, or the kink in the armor, which is the ground game.
That's not his fault, though. Kevin Holland's on the curse list.
That's true. Okay, so he is cursed. And then before that, Edmund Shabazian, dude. The Shabazz, who doesn't know how to do anything on the ground.
Oh boy.
Golden Boy's a standing affair, dude.
Oh, boy. But then he beat your boy Ian Hynish and Elias Theodoro. You love both of those guys.
Those guys are always parlay pieces.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We continually bet against Derek Brunson, and it has proved unprofitable. We have not made money betting against Derek Brunson.
Is his hair blonde or black right now?
I don't know. We'll have to see it weigh-ins.
Blonde Brunson's scary, dude. I'm taking blonde Brunson.
All right. So blonde Brunson. If it's blonde Brunson, we'll take him. Mythical blonde Brunson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So the hair decides it.
It is decided.
I think over 2.5 is the play, but that's just me personally. We'll see on Saturday. We'll see on Saturday. All right, man. Derek Lewis taking on Tai Tuivasa. Tai Tuivasa at 14-3. Derek Lewis at 26-8. -195 for Derek Lewis. +165 for Tai Tuivasa. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this for a split second. Hot take time. Derek Lewis is a Hall of Famer. Derek Lewis is a Hall of Famer. He is. Derek Lewis is a Hall of Famer, and this is a dumb fight for Tai Tuivasa to take.
It is a very dumb fight for Tai Tuivasa to take, but I need you to justify this Hall of Famer piece.
Because Derek Lewis won most knockouts ever, promotional history. If this were baseball and you hit the most home runs ever, would you be in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. Ask Barry Bonds.
Well, Barry Bonds did steroids. So Derek Lewis being a clean athlete, clean home run hitters, are they in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay. Derek Lewis, most knockouts in promotion history. Should that alone be enough to get him in there?
Probably so. Yeah.
Probably so. Okay. But let's talk about who he's fought in the last, I don't know, dude. Let's just go back until you get tired of hearing me talk. Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah. All right.
So lost to Ciryl Gane in a title fight. So a loss to an interim champ. All right. Curtis Blaydes for number one contender. Alexei Oleinik, who has 75 professional fights, multiple world champion in other organizations. Wins over Alir Latifi, Blagoy Ivanov, both top 15 at the time. Win or losses to Junior Dos Santos, Daniel Cormier, and Mark Hunt. Listen, the only people that have lost or that he has lost to have been champions or interim champions outside of Sean Jordan and Matt Mitrione. Everybody else that he beats has either been a former champ, former number one contender, or former champ in another division or another promotion. And he has the most knockouts of all time. How is that not a Hall of Famer?
No, it's Hall of Famer. It's Hall of Famer. It's just, I'm not going to get into that. Never mind.
No,
get in. I'm not going in. Not tonight. I will say this. I've always said the blueprint is out there to beat Derek Lewis, which is just to get it to the ground. But time and time again, he shows that no one can do it. Kyle Daukaus wasn't able to do it. Freaking, what's the guy's name? Curtis Blaydes, who his entire game plan is based on getting you to the ground, could not get him down. Like the blue belt, what he calls himself, the greatest blue belt in Texas or whatever, is our Hall of Famer in Texas. Hmm. No one can get him down. So I'm never going to fade him in thinking that someone can pose a wrestling threat or a ground game or jiu-jitsu. It doesn't matter. This is a huge step up in competition for Tai Tuivasa. I know Tai Tuivasa's got the marketing push right now with the Nelk boys and fucking, you know, doing the shoeys and stuff. But, dude, stay in your lane, man.
What is a Nelk boy? What is a Nelk boy? What is a Nelk boy? You're hip to the kids. What is a Nelk boy? Why do I care about this? Why does the UFC care about this and think that I should care about this? What is a Nelk?
It's broadening you know, the people that the eyes on the sport, dude. They're like the biggest YouTube pranksters or something like that.
I literally watch YouTube like in the background all day while I'm at work, and I have no idea who these people are. Never have come on my suggested videos once.
Well, it's like three guys, and one of them is named Steve, and Steve got famous for literally grabbing a handle, much like this one right here. Gentleman's Jack, by the way, is not open. I'm 2 days sober. What's up? Yeah, thanks, dude. This is actually a non-alcoholic beer.
So it's not beer. So if it's not alcoholic beer, it's not beer.
It's got 0.5%.
So it's not beer.
I've had like 80 of them. Well, so Steve would literally just open this up and chug the whole thing. That was how he got famous. And he did that on every Instagram post. And
he's was stationed and served with people that would do that multiple times a night, and they are not famous.
And would they like force themselves to puke after that, or they would actually just own it?
Some people just owned it. Well, let's see if he's in the chat still. There's a guy in the chat that I was in with who saw me destroy pretty much three quarters of a handle right off the rip, because I was like, I need to play catch up, because I was completely stone cold sober and everybody else was hammered. And I was like, I'm going to play catch up, and literally took three quarters of a handle to the dome of Captain Morgan Spiced.
Of Rumplemints.
All right. This is a bad fight for Tai Tuivasa. Let's not get off topic here. This is a bad fight for Tai Tuivasa. One, because Greg Hardy was able to rock Tai, and Derek Lewis, if he hits him with the same shot that Greg Hardy hit, Tai goes to sleep. So, the only saving grace here, I think, for Tai Tuivasa is that Derek Lewis does not like being hit. Derek Lewis is not a big fan of taking punishment in any way, shape, or form. And if you can hurt him, you can get him to quit. I like Derek Lewis a lot, but he's got quit in him when it comes to if he feels something that he doesn't like, he'll go ahead and say, "Bah, I live to fight another day," and he'll check it out. So my only knock against the guy really is that I feel like he's got a little bit of quit in him. I don't say he doesn't have heart, but I feel like, and it's also heavyweights too, so I realize what I'm saying is a very asshole thing to say, but like in the Ciryl Gane fight, you could see he was like, this isn't going to go my way. And once he started getting hurt, he was like, his whole body language changed. Same thing with the Daniel Cormier fight. Same thing with the Junior Dos Santos fight. It was all just like, this isn't going my way. And he just kind of was like, I'm good here. I'm good.
Under 1.5 is a parlay piece, dude.
I don't know if under 1.5 is, but I think Derek.
Ty loves a good firefight.
Yeah,
clipped, the kitchen sink goes out the window.
Let's rock it. All right, under 1.5. All right, main event of the evening, Israel Adesanya at 21-1, Robert Whittaker at 24-5. Bigger favorite this time than he was the first time he fought. Justified, not. I want your opinion. -260 Adesanya, +220 Robert Whittaker. Over under rounds at 4.5. One, I feel like you play the under. I feel like if you're on... I feel like the under is the play here. You're giving me 22.5 minutes in a fight where the last one got finished in the second round?
That's I think you can get under 4.5 right now, like +125-ish. Yeah. So that's a smart. I like that. Rob, remind me, dude, because I don't have the encyclopedia like you do, but Rob came into the first fight, though. He came in very emotional, like something was
fired up. He wanted to hurt him. He was doing the Ronda Rousey Holly Holm thing where he was fabricating Izzy being a piece of shit so he could hurt him, and he admittedly said he wanted it too bad.
But then also, didn't he like take a break before that, and he had like little like family issues going on?
He had extended layoff, and I think honestly, well, you're married and you have kids, right? Whitaker's married, he's got a gaggle of kids. fight camp, injury, knee surgery, fight camp. If you're doing that, at what point does your old lady say, hey, you're going to pause for a little bit. I need you here at the house. I need you. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. Take a year off. I get that. I mean, I, I feel like anybody that's been in any relationship that has anything like that, you're going to experience that at some point where you're going to go, you're working too much. You're gone too much. There's too much other stuff going on. So I try to keep this thing succinct and on time, because like nights like tonight, my wife got called off work. She's downstairs watching TV. She was like, tell Trey to not talk a lot tonight so you can come back down here.
Okay. Well, I'm either going to take Izzy by decision, as crazy as that is, at +150, or I'm going to take Whitaker under, dude. I honestly think I'm taking Whitaker money line. That's my play, dude. I think that he's a much more well-rounded fighter. He's better wrestling, better ground game. He's got better kicks. Adesanya is just a sniper, dude, with those fists. And I think that Whitaker is going to wise up to that, maybe shoot, level change a little bit. I don't know, but I think he presents the whole package versus Adesanya is an absolute freak in one facet.
I feel like Robert Whitaker is the most unsuspecting, sneaky, middleweight, like one of the most, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this.
Cheeky bastard?
No, like one of the most unassuming middleweight greats. That, like, as the sport progresses 100 years, if we could go time machine, go 100 years in the future, and not knowing what happened, people are going to go, you will have a camp of people that will be diehard Robert Whitaker stands that will say he could have done this, that, and the other short of walking on water. Almost like you see, like, with like a Sugar Ray or something like that. Like, just one of those guys where you're just like an all time great that maybe wasn't supposed. No, Sugar Ray, people kind of always said. Tommy Hearns is a better boxing analogy here, where it was like one of these guys where you're champ. Nobody expected you to be a champ. You beat good people. You're a Hall of Famer, and there was at a certain point in time where you could do no wrong. But there was. Eventually big dogs came and just took it from you. Marvin Hagler's came and took it. Sugar Ray Leonard's came and took it. Roberto Duran's came and took it from you. There's just a certain point where you just didn't have it anymore. And if you look at the Robert Whitaker that started his career as a welterweight, beating the likes of guys like Brad Scott and Colton Smith and Rafael Nadal, right? And then all of a sudden he just steps up and explodes into the Jacarés, Yoels, Izzy's, Darren Till's, Cannoneers, Kelvin Gastelum's of the world. I mean, he just goes right into a shark tank, just right into it. And 9 times out of 10 comes out on top, which is crazy. And I don't know if it'll be that way for much longer. And I don't know how much I feel like when I look at these two guys, I feel like Izzy's going to be in the sport a lot longer than Robert Whitaker is going to be in the sport. I feel like Robert Whitaker takes an L here. We might only see him a handful of times.
Whoa. Okay. So our whole text conversation meant nothing to you.
Right? No, I said, if he takes an L here, I'm building the stakes. I'm saying if he takes an L, Robert Whitaker at +220, I can't pass that up. I have to take it.
Bobby Knucks, lock it.
He's too good. Bobby Knuckles at +220. I know he got knocked out last time, but I'm looking at value. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm looking at here.
Agreed.
So, all right, we're going to run through the prelims super quick. I know you guys were like, oh gosh, this is such a good card. Please stay longer. But Jeremiah Wells. Jeremiah Wells is taking on dude. I cannot. Doesn't he go by Blood Diamond?
Dale, I don't even know who that guy is.
I feel like Jeremiah Wells is fighting a guy who, like, he has a real name, but people call him Blood Diamond, almost like people call. Like Korean Zombie. Yeah. And I feel like if I were to just start calling this guy Blood Diamond,
yeah,
people would be upset by that. Like if I just,
yeah, it'd be a little racist.
Right, like to use Miranda, not to be racist, but if I just started calling this African fighter Blood Diamond, no, people would be upset by that. But he calls himself Blood Diamond, so we'll go ahead and rock it like that.
Well, would you say that you're using it in context, though?
Well, I am here, yeah. So Jeremiah Wells, 9-2-1, taking on Blood Diamond. -230 for Jeremiah Wells, +190 for Blood Diamond. Dude, what do you want to do here?
Blood Diamond's a city kickboxing guy, yeah?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Okay, so that's why, yeah.
Domino effect. You want to just go ahead and domino effect it?
I don't know, dude. This Jeremiah Walls. I don't know anything about Blood Diamond. I do know that Jeremy Walls is taking this fight on short notice, which is a little bit scary. But he's really strong, dude. Black belt in jiu-jitsu. Is Blood Diamond, you know, get on the ground? You know,
I have no idea. He's got three down there, digging three professional fights. I don't know. Let's take Jeremy. Let's take, you got me calling him Jeremy now. Jeremiah. Let's go Jeremiah Walls.
All right, that's fair.
Cool. Because if we're planning on going anti-city kickboxing this whole card, this is, we have to start with this guy.
Yeah.
You got to start early. All right. Douglas Silva de Andrade, 27-4, taking on Sergey Morozov, 17-4. -220 favorite for Sergey, taking on Douglas at a +180. Caucasus Mountain Warrior is Sergey.
Yeah,
but he's going against Douglas Silva de Andrade, wealth of experience and an absolute finisher. Like he's a murderer. I don't care what you say. He's got a terrible haircut. He looks like he's juiced to the gills and he's a murderer.
Yeah.
He's a murderer.
Yeah. He's an inflated balloon animal for sure. But he's only an animal standing on his feet, dude. And he's got questionable takedown defense. And what we got in the Caucasus Mountain Warrior, dude, is the atypical Caucasus Mountain Warrior. Someone who will rush and hold you down, grapple you to death, not let you breathe, take you to deep waters and put you out. So
perfect.
I think we go with Caucasus Mountain Warrior.
Gotcha. I like just real quick, I'm going to circle back here. Tim says Blood Diamond will starch this guy, talking about Jeremiah Wells. So Tim is an Aussie, so we may need to take his word for it there. And then Brian says Blood Diamond isn't racist. Perfect. All right, cool. Because when I hear Blood Diamond, you know what I think of? You know what scene I think of when I think of Blood Diamond? Have you ever, first of all, you're not a movie guy. Have you ever seen Blood Diamond?
Yeah, I think I have.
With Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, no, I have not.
Dude.
I know.
You haven't seen it?
No.
It's on Netflix. They just added it to Netflix. I check it out.
Cool. I'll fit that in between the 900 episodes of Cocomelon.
Yeah. So you've got Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Connelly, and I'm going to say his name wrong. Digimon Hansu?
I was racist.
That's his name. But anyway, I always think of that. Where and Leo's asking him where the diamond's at, and he's like, he's naked. He like pulls his clothes off and he's like, "Where is the diamond? Where is the diamond?"
Ooh, that's powerful.
You've never seen this movie?
No, oh, but that got me some goosebumps, dude.
Dude, that's my Blood Diamond. Every time I hear Blood Diamond, I always think of that. Where is the diamond? And he's like, dude, that's giving me, bro.
That's like you going into HR.
Yeah, pretty much. I almost went to HR today, by the way. Almost. We'll talk off channel about that. Oh, that was another business one that I wanted to talk about last week. It's just when we say we'll talk about this off channel.
Oh, offline.
Or we'll talk. Well, you say offline?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another good one. All right. We'll go Caucasus Mountain Warrior. All right. AJ Dobson taking on Jacob Malkoon. Malkoon at 5-1. AJ Dobson at 6-0. Malkoon, I don't want to say famous, but teammate of Robert Whittaker taking on AJ Dobson here. I actually like AJ Dobson in this spot, man. You're on Malkoon?
No, I just, I thought, are we not doing city kickboxing?
He's not a city kickboxing guy.
Jacob Malkoon?
No, he's Robert Whittaker's. He's out of Whittaker's camp.
Oh, Whittaker. Dude, the Aussie stuff just...
Dude, this Oceania stuff. Listen, I love... Trey doesn't like any of you guys, but I love all of our Aussie and New Zealand and Oceania fans. Listeners, rather. I don't want to say fans. That's so pretentious. People that listen to our show from there. I love you guys. Trey can never get you guys squared away, but I understand. I
love you guys. I just don't understand where you live. I don't understand. I just
hold you in my hand like little bird eggs.
I don't understand where they live.
Okay, fair enough. There's a big island, and then there's a smaller one, like tucked away over here.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's like another one off of that where Tasmanian devils live, I think.
They're spinning around.
No, I think they removed. Hold on a second. Tim, did they remove all the Tasmanian devils off of Tasmania because they had like some sort of cancer that was eating them? I feel like there was like some sort of effort to remove them. And then like fix the issue and then put them back. Did I imagine that in my head? I'm just
weird. You know a lot about Tasmanian devils.
Did you know I tried out for Jeopardy one time?
Didn't work out.
It did. I just said tried out. Didn't say I was on. Did Didn't say I was entree. Did say I tried out.
What is failed?
Yes. What is failed? Talk about things that Dale failed at getting on Jeopardy. All right. So let's see. No Tassie Devils left. That's a somber note.
You want to pour one out, dude?
I'm empty. I'm empty. Golly. All right. We're on AJ Dobson here. Cool. All right.
Let's just take him. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Carlos Olberg, 5-1, taking on Fabio Chiron. Chiron at 7-3. Olberg at 5-1. This is must win for both of these gentlemen. This is win or go home. Plus 215 for Fabio Chiron, minus 255 for Carlos Olberg. Olberg famously looked really good against Kennedy and Jekwe until he looked really bad against Kennedy and Jekwe. And Fabio Chiron has been a poster child of disappointment.
Oh. Carlos Olberg, dude, I think outside of, you know, looking good in the octagon, he's a good looking dude outside the octagon, man. He's a model.
Dude, you and everybody's physical appearance, bro.
He's a good looking guy. Good looking cat.
Oh, Black Jag is his name.
What?
That's his nickname, is Black Jag.
What is up with these racist names, dude?
It's Australia. They say stuff that we can't say.
That's insane. How do they get away with it?
And you call them Black Jag? I don't know what Black Jag is. I imagine it has something to do with. And then they have what's the Aussie rules football team? The All Blacks?
No.
Yes.
I'm learning a lot tonight.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm here for it. I'm here with the information.
All right. Well, I don't know who I kind of want to take the plus money on Fabio, and I'll tell you why. I think he's a guy, BJJ guy, got to go with the BJJ guys. He will drown you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to push you up against the cage and just kind of like do that, you know, buckle the knees together, get butt on the mat and just smother, dude, like molasses. Versus Carlos, dude, you're going to play Carlos minus 255 on a sketchy prelim. Probably not going to play him money line. Play him in round one. He is a guy that comes in super strong, wings for the fences. I know he's a model, but he looks awful in round two and three. So if you're going to grab someone money line, you can get on Chiron plus 215. That's in juicy Carlos round one.
Gotcha. That's Tim says playing. New Zealand has the All Blacks team. Sorry. Anyway, my thing with Fabio is that he doesn't have, I don't say he doesn't have a chin because it was William Knight that hit him. Yeah. But if you look at the punch that William Knight hit him with, it was like the weirdest little like arm punch, almost like a, like he cuffed him with like, he cuffed him with this part of his hand, like by the ear, and just slumped him. Prior to that, he looked pretty good. My concern is though, Olberg for a round and a half is going to be super dangerous. And unless Chiron can get the ground game rolling early, I don't know if he has the chin. The weird thing about the Njekwe fight for Olberg was that Njekwe took his shots and kept moving forward. And that ultimately did it. Fabio Chiron is not going to take those shots and keep moving forward. I don't think he has it in him. I think that he will go to sleep. But this is a must win fight for both of these guys. I think the loser is removed from the roster, to be honest with you. Pink slips are there. You're not going to get a third shot here. So
urgency.
Yeah, urgency is key. I'll go under 1.5. I'm going to go under 1.5 here.
I'm cool with that. I like that.
Okay, cool. Let's see here. Your boy, Alexander Hernandez, taking on Hanato Moicano. 15-4-1 for Hanato Moicano, taking on Alexander Hernandez at 13-4. Like I said, Hernandez is the underdog here, Trey, against Moicano at a plus 145. Moicano coming back at a minus 170. What do you think about this? Because I feel like I like Hernandez in the spot. And I know you don't like Alexander Hernandez, but I like him in this spot, man.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Hernandez. I think comes in with 0% body fat, looks like an absolute stud, good wrestling, but he is a ditch the game plan type person. He also is a, I get clipped, I doubt myself, and I kind of quit. But he's fought good competition. I think we failed to say this in the Derek Lewis fight, but this is a hometown fight for him, so the momentum is going to be high.
Well, that's right. He's a Texas kid. That's right. I forgot about that.
And I mean, he's fallen in love with his hands a little bit. And to be honest, Hinato, outside of, you know, the vet, the wily vet dude and the sick neck tattoo he's got going on now, he's got a glass chin now. It has been touched many times. So
hot take.
I know. I'm going Hernandez on this. I'm taking that plus money.
I don't agree with the glass chin assessment.
I will point that out all day long.
Okay. Well, he got knocked out by Rafael Fiziev. He got knocked out by Korean Zombie. He got knocked out by Jose Aldo. Yeah. So of his four losses, three of which have come via knockout to champ, title challenger, and soon-to-be title challenger. And the only person that's ever beaten by submission was Brian Ortega. So if you are Hinata Moicano, 20 fights into your pro career, the only people that you have lost to are either a world champion kickboxer or former title challengers or champions. Alexander Hernandez is none of those. None of those. So my concern is Moicano is at a stage in his career where I don't know how much more – I don't know how much longer he can keep competing at a high level. And I wonder – I wonder if Hernandez is just good enough at just the right time, at just the right camp, hometown, decent plus money. Can he get it done here?
Yes.
Like he's got just the right skill set. Maybe. I don't love him at plus 145. I don't love this.
I want him to wrestle. I don't want him to stand and bang, dude.
Yeah. I don't want him to bang either. My concern is that Moicano is going to press him up against the cage, grapevine that leg, take his back, and choke him out.
Ooh.
Like, that's my concern. If I look at Alexander Hernandez, we're going to do MMA math for a second. If I look at Alexander Hernandez, I look at a guy that has a similar skill set to Demir Hadzovic, and Moicano took Hadzovic down and choked him out.
I like the under 2.5 as well.
Inside the distance. Let's do it.
I like that.
Perfect. All right, cool. Mana Martinez or Mana. Cool. 9-2 taking on Ronnie Lawrence. Ronnie Lawrence is 7-1. Minus 300 favorite for Ronnie Lawrence here, taking on Martinez. Martinez coming back at a plus 250 here over in rounds at 2.5. Ronnie Lawrence is a prospect to watch. People love him. We haven't seen him fight in nearly a year. Last time he fought was on a leap year day, I believe. Last February. So, yeah, I don't necessarily know if ring rust is real, if Ronnie Lawrence will have it, but he has looked sensational when given the opportunity, and if you let him work, he will destroy you. That being said, minus 300 is a pretty slick price on him, but I like Ronnie Lawrence here. I might be putting him in a parlay.
Yeah, there's some people that, like, in their clinch, that Muay Thai facet, dude, they, like, just cut you up, and they work, and they work. They don't hold. Super, super hyper-aggressive in the clinch. Works. Good tank. Yeah. Solid prospect.
All right. Take him as a parlay piece here. All right. First fight on the prelims, not the early prelims, but the prelims. William Knight taking on Maxime Grishin. Maxime Grishin at a minus 170 over William Knight. Christian's been away for a year. William Knight's coming back at a plus 145 over on rounds of 2.5. I love Maxime Grishin in this spot. As soon as they announced this fight, shout out to MMA Heads who sent it to us, because when it broke, he sent it to us. And I replied back, I love Maxime in this spot. I love him. He used to fight at heavyweight, so he's durable. He's got cardio. He's well-rounded, and I think he's actively trying to get better. I think the year away is going to do him all the service in the world here, taking on a William Knight who, unless it's a super athletic freak move, i.e. like a Yoel Romero-style thing, does not have a plan B or C. So as long as Maxime doesn't get caught with anything, which I think I'm hoping that Maxime is smart enough here, as long as he doesn't caught, I think he'll be just fine, dude. I think he'll be just fine, and I love him at a minus 170.
Fuck, dude, sound the alarm right now. It's time.
I didn't realize this was going to be, I could have gotten this ready. Gosh.
This is going to be the one. I disagree with everything you just said. There it is. People's main event. Maxine Grishin, you know what? You know what? For my quote unquote show prep that I did, you know what I wrote down?
Maxine Grishin's a piece of shit.
No, I wrote down, I was being a little bit more conservative. I wrote milquetoast.
Milquetoast?
Milquetoast.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Maxine Grishin is milquetoast.
Fair enough.
Soft. He's just around. He's boring. It doesn't do anything really that great. Mm. William Knight is calm like Fast and Furious, dude. Vin Diesel status. He's 0-60. And then he shuts the breakdown. He's like Brendan Fraser, dude. Think of Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser was a nobody. Then he got into the Mummy movies. He was freaking fantastic. Then he went away. He's 0-60. 0-60. Boy. What happened to Brendan Fraser now, dude? He's back. He's a big deal.
What's crazy to me is that you're willing to talk to me about Brendan Fraser movies, but you have never seen Blood Diamond.
I'm taking William Knight because he's going to explode forward and knock out an older, soft fighter, dude.
Unbelievable.
Most casual way to say
that. I honestly believe that there was a portion in time where either you were frozen or you lived in a bunker.
Maybe.
I don't know, dude. I know homeschool kids that have seen more movies than you. Were you a homeschool kid?
No.
All right. No. Fair enough. All right. Alex Perez, Matt Schnell. Perez at 24-6, Matt Schnell at 15-6. I think this is this fight's rebooked, is it not?
It's the third time they've rebooked this.
Yeah. Alex Perez at a -400, Matt Schnell +300, over on the rounds at 2.5. This is dog or pass for me. Very simple for me. This is dog or pass. If you like Matt Schnell, hats off to you. I can't play Alex Perez at a -400, and I won't touch Matt Schnell because I don't think he's going to win this fight at +300. This is dog or pass, over on rounds at 2.5. If you're on Schnell, you might consider the under 2.5 or inside the distance. He's got slick submissions, and he's been falling in love with his hands a little bit more. So I think the exchanges will be there on the feet, but this is dog or pass.
Yeah, Schnell's got good BJJ, but doesn't really have wrestling. So Alex Perez is going to be better standing. He's going to have the better wrestling. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a long, long night for Matt Schnell.
Roxanne Modafari at 25-19, taking on Casey O'Neill at 8-0. Roxanne Modafari +300. Casey O'Neill at a -400. Overruns at 2.5. By default, if there's a +300 women's dog, we have to take it. And then two, the fact that it's Roxanne Modafari means that we doubly have to take it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's Roxanne Modafari at +300 on her retirement fight means we triply have to take it. Mm-hmm. Now, asterisk here. Casey O'Neill should win this fight in violent, vicious fashion if it follows suit with her other 8 wins. And she very well may do that on Saturday night. But once more into the unknown, once more into the fire, once more we put up the Spartan phalanx, once more into the breach, the darkness, we stare death in the face and say, not today. We take Roxanne Modafari.
I don't want to say this is my most confident play of the night, but Dale, god damn it, science makes it the most confident play on the planet, dude. Roxanne Modafari, she's on a 2-fight loss skid, but
she ain't losing 3 in a row, bro.
It ain't gonna happen, dude. And dude, Casey O'Neill looks like a freaking psychopath in the first round. No technique, wing shots, leaves herself open. Roxanne's smart. The only thing I'm worried about is she's engaged or married now. Which one is it?
I don't know. She's in love. In love. It's in love, Roxy. We talked about this.
I know. I get worried about in love, Roxy, dude.
No, dude. So here's the thing: is we thought Roxy and her boy were on the rocks last time, so we thought it was heartbroken Roxy, right. But it turns out all is well in paradise. They figured it out. The Instagram scrub has been reversed. They are back. So she's back to being in love, Roxy. In love, Roxy beat Andrea Lee. In love, Roxy can beat Casey O'Neill. Brian asks, who do you think wins the stand up between Casey and Roxy? Oh, obviously, Casey. Roxanne is not going to punch. She's not winning any stand up battles. But what happens is there's this weird Glover Teixeira like quality to Roxanne where she gets rocked and then pulls you into her struggle and then somehow finds a way to reverse position, get butterfly, flip you reverse, and then just, I don't know. And admittedly, like you said, Casey has not looked good in round one, and we don't know what round three looks like. So Let's see, dude. I mean, for my money, I like Casey O'Neill. But yeah, you know what's crazy is Casey O'Neill agreed to come on our show and said, "Hit me up when I get closer to a fight, because then I'm doing like media. I'll be in the groove." And we just never followed up.
Yeah, we're so on top of it.
Miranda Maverick is somewhere very upset with us right now.
Yeah,
very upset. So, all right, we're on Roxanne. All right, featured prelim: Andre Arlovsky, Jared Vanderoff. Vanderoff 12-6. Andre Arlovsky to -140, 32-20 for Arlovsky. You're giving me Andre Arlovsky at near even money. Say less, fam. I'm all over Andre. Are you kidding me? He's destroying Jared Vanderoff. He's destroying him. It's over with. Andre Arlovsky, sign me up, dude. Just the most wily veteran experience on the planet Earth. Dude, Andre Arlovsky fights no dumb fights. Jared Vanderoff, all dumb fights.
No, that's so not true.
Dude.
It's so not true. Dude, let me rattle this off real quick. Jared Vanderoff. You know me. I'm always on the Arlovsky train. Like, I have been for a while now. But I've got to jump off it for this moment because he's older. He's going to get clipped. He's probably going to die. Jared Vanderoff, dude, yes, he's 2-2 in his last four. To get into the UFC, beat Harry Hunsucker. We know we love us some Harry Hunsucker. But then he gets in, he fights a freaking Caucus Mountain Warrior and Sergey Spivak, who exploits the ground game, destroys him there. Then he fights Justin Toffa, Toffa, who's not good. He gets the win, but then he goes against Alexander Romanov, and then what happens? He gets murdered on the ground. Everyone sees what he's not good at on the ground. Do you think that Andre Arlovsky is going to wrestle? No. Do you think he's going to try and get things to the ground? No. So this is going to be two guys standing, and Jared Vanderoff has much heavier hands than Andre Arlovsky. Andre Arlovsky, if you're going to play him by decision. You're going to get the points. He's not going to get Jared Vanderoff out of there. You're going to play Jared Vanderoff, play him just +120, or sweeten that shit and buy KO, because Andre Arlovsky is going to get clipped. He doesn't have the chin he once had.
That's such a lie. That is such a lie.
It's not a lie, dude.
It is a lie. It's a lie. He's lost. The only person that's knocked, dude, his last to not. Oh my gosh, you got me stuttering. I hate the fact that people say that Arlovsky is chinny. That's not the case. That's not the case, dude. The last time outside of the the Rozenstruik fight where he was knocked out was when he fought Francis Ngannou.
Mm-hmm.
So he got knocked out by Francis back in 2017. He got knocked out by Rozenstruik in 2019. Outside of that, Trey, he's fought 10 times and hasn't been finished once by knockout. He got choked out by Aspinall. Don't call Arlovsky chinny. He's not. The guy's won 4 out of his last 5 and 5 out of his last 7. Don't do it. Arlovsky's the play.
It's not.
Okay. You tell me you feel good with Jared Vanderoff on your slip on Saturday. Go ahead. Convince me that you feel good with Jared Vanderoff on your slip.
I can't.
Exactly. All right. Guys, if you don't already do so, please consider following the show on Instagram at PunchlessMMA. If you don't follow us on Twitter, do that as well at PunchlessMMA. If you want to shoot us an email, because that's more your thing, chat at PunchlessMMA, feel free to do so. If you haven't already done the deed, please consider doing it. Leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars is always preferred. If you don't want to do that, that's okay too. If you haven't left the video a thumbs up in the live stream, leave it a thumbs up. If you're watching this after the fact and you haven't thumbs it up, write a comment if you want, all that stuff. Shoot us DMs on this weekend. We'll be around. Official betting slip comes out on Saturday night. Shout out to our show sponsor, Stay Classy Meats. Go Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code FISH. You can save 10% on the entire thing. And shout out to Allegiance Clothing, who makes the most badass patriotic clothing on the planet Earth. Use promo code PUNCH and saves 15%. Site wide. If you haven't received your Hedge t-shirt, please send us a message. We'll make sure that we get that corrected for you. If you received your Hedge t-shirt and you're not satisfied, send us a message. We'll get you squared away on that as well. All right. Anything else for the people, Trey?
Fights are Saturday. Super Bowl is Sunday. Be smart with your drinking. Pace yourself. It's a long weekend.
Yeah. And if you're looking for Super Bowl plays, check out our brother podcast. We'll go brother podcast. Give me the points. Be sure to check them out. they'll have a full Super Bowl slate complete with actual in-game plays, props, all that kind of stuff, man. They're going to, their Super Bowl episode will be through the roof. So be sure to check them out. And if you enjoy the interview with Miranda Maverick, shoot her a DM or go to the show. Let her know that you saw her on here and that you appreciate her coming on. So until this weekend, guys, be good to each other. We'll see you.
Bang, bang.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.